news, reviews, commentary, not just another podcast on the Ordinary People Broadcast. On action, 5.1. Now here comes your host, Kyle A. Barron of the world, Steve.
Now that's a way to start a show. This is episode 24 of the Big Ball Broadcast. I'm Kyle Abear, professional voice actor. You can hear me on Naruto as the voice of Kiba this coming weekend.
And this is your co-host, Otherworld Steve. I'm an anime journalist and webmaster of KyleAbear.com.
We got tons of really cool things on the big show today. There's a Save Firefly campaign by some rich dude. We got actual Stargate news here. Oscar nominees. We're going to find out all that and a lot more on today's show. But first, we're going to start with email.
We had one survey member comment that we just did not do enough of the listener feedback emails.
I'd like to address that problem by saying, well, we just don't get any. If we got them, we'd be reading them. And the good news is this week, we got one.
Thunderous applause.
Woo! Yes. And ironically, the guy's name is Steve. Awesome. Yeah.
Yay.
And he writes, "Hey Kyle and Steve, I've been listening to your show since about episode 11, which was when I somehow stumbled onto your site, and has been steadily increasing in quality, but the content has remained top-notch. You two continually make it easy to grasp all of the topics, and the show is informative as well as entertaining. I know you guys have been clamoring for feedback, so I figured I was obligated as a repeat listener to tell you why it is that I continue to listen to your podcast. I'm a student of the School of Visual Arts in New York City, and I love video games so much I've even started a video gaming club at my school. The school even funds it. Arcades! So all of the technology and video gaming information, insights, and recommendations are appreciated from one gamer and a geek to another.
Thank you so much, Steve!
It is awesome to get feedback. If you have comments, questions, if there's any topics you think that we should report that we don't, we like getting that kind of feedback too.
TheBigBallBroadcast@gmail.com. Send us whatever it is, good, bad, indifferent, comments, questions, suggestions. We want to hear it. Send it. We'll read it on the show, unless it's really bad, and then we won't. Gendy Tartakovsky will be directing The Power of the Dark Crystal. Yes, all two Dark Crystal fans out there are going, yeah! If you remember that, Jim Henson and his Muppets, not Kermit and Miss Piggy and all that. This was all original Muppetry, if you will. A 1982 film that I actually own in my DVD collection. I think it's a pretty cool fantasy story. It's been just kind of lingering for years. People have been wanting a sequel to that. If you walk into Hot Topic, you'll see Dark Crystal stuff. Concept designer Brian Froud is on board to design brand new characters. This will be brought to life through puppets and CG backgrounds. Production is supposed to begin later this summer, so I'm pretty psyched about that.
Power of the Dark Crystal
from Mr. Tartakovsky, who of course brought us the highly superior Clone Wars cartoons. So that's another reason to get excited right there.
Yes, I'm equally excited. I have the Dark Crystal Special Edition, and I always wondered in the back of my head if anybody would ever capitalize on that and do a sequel. So I guess my question's been answered.
Obviously, 1982, CG stuff just wasn't around or was in its infancy. So just imagine what they can do today.
Sony's PSP is a very cool device. You can play games, watch movies, pictures, download homebrew applications, and you can play all kind of other games that you're really not supposed to. But I think this is definitely the coolest mod I've seen for a PSP yet, and that is to turn your PSP into a universal remote control.
Dude!
Now, I'm so psyched about that. There's always a butt.
There's always a big butt.
Big, hairy, fuzzy butt in your face.
Ew.
And the butt is that at this moment in time, it only works on firmware version 1.5.
I forget what version I have. I have a browser on there.
If you have the browser, chances are you're running firmware 2.0. There was a rumor going around a while back that you can downgrade your firmware, and I'll have to do some searching online to see if that is really true. But rather than go into the hows and whys, I will post the link in the show notes. Apparently, a lot of people have had a lot of success using this, and now again, by universal remote, I mean your DVD player, your TV, your CD player, your air conditioner, whatever has an infrared remote control sensor on it, you can, in theory, control with your PSP. Now, a lot of people on the forums have been commenting that, yeah, it's a nice thing to do to your PSP and then walk into a Best Buy or a Circuit City and really wreak havoc.
Kind of like that cell phone jammer device that's out there. It's probably illegal in the States, but it like sets a high frequency thing that just shuts down everyone's cell phone within like 30 feet of you.
That is so cool.
I want one of those, especially when I'm at the theater.
I know a lot of people have also been talking about buying rare earth magnets on eBay or through various different websites and going into Best Buy and just walking up and down the computer aisle.
Just break millions of dollars of computers instantly.
Now remember, kids, all this information is brought to you for educational purposes only, and we do not advocate that you go to Circuit City or Best Buy and wreak any havoc with their electronic devices.
But Otherworld Steve told me to.
Yeah, I can just see myself named in a lawsuit from one of these big conglomerates.
Do you have a nice business suit? Because you're going to need one for court.
If you're going to sue me, just do me a favor and make sure that the summons comes in the name of Otherworld Steve, because I think they'll have a real hard time dragging my ass off to court with that being the case. My driver's license doesn't say that, kids.
What? Your first name's not Otherworld?
Only my mom knows. My wife doesn't even know.
Wow.
But she just refers to me as, hey, you. Hey, a little while ago, I was online looking at some industrial laser pointers, but these things are, like, insane. Like, they have a video of them cutting through electrical tape with it, so.
The only thing I think a laser pointer is good for is amusing oneself around a cat. You just point it at the carpet or whatever, and the cat is just mesmerized by it. You just wiggle it around and just go up the ceiling, and it'll jump for it. Oh, man, it's endless hours of entertainment.
But here's my other legal disclaimer. Kids, do not point it into any animal or other person's eyeballs. You will do irreversible damage.
It even says so on the laser pointer. I'll say that, so I'll give them kudos.
I accidentally did that to one of my fish in a fish tank. The eye became immediately clouded, and then it just kind of swam in circles from that point on. So I think that's pretty conclusive about the amount of damage that it can do with it even touching somebody's eye briefly. So I don't want to get named in a lawsuit, so kids, do not point it at anybody's eyeballs.
Including your own. Whoa, I hear car doors. Oh, that's PETA. They're outside your door, Steve. Watch out.
The People for Ethical Treatment of Assholes.
There's a lot of geeky films up for Oscars this year. Up for Animated Feature of the Year, Howl's Moving Castle from Miyazaki, Tim Burton's Corpse Bride, and Wallace and Gromit and the Curse of the Were-Rabbit. Under Art Direction, you got Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire and King Kong. Cinematography, Batman Begins, very nice. Sound Mixing gets Chronicles of Narnia and King Kong and War of the Worlds. Sound Editing gets King Kong and War of the Worlds. Makeup gets the Chronicles of Narnia and Star Wars Episode 3. And Visual Effects gets Chronicles, King Kong, and War of the Worlds. Dot, dot, dot. Wait a minute. Where's Star Wars? Star Wars got snubbed! No!
It's been one of those really weird phenomenons where a lot of what Lucas has done has never been recognized by the Academy. I don't know if that's necessarily due to the fact that Lucas is not in the guild anymore, or hasn't been in the guild pretty much since after. Anybody who's watched Empire of Dreams, the documentary that came with the classic trilogy, Redux, knows what I'm talking about. It could be that screw you from the Academy, saying, you know, you wanted to do things your own way, you don't want to be in the Writers or Directors Guild, then you can't be up for an award. I don't know, but I don't think George is crying himself to sleep with the billions of dollars he has under his mattress.
And I thought Sin City was really innovative, and come to think of it, you know, Robert Rodriguez is kind of in the same boat, because he left the Directors Guild because he wanted Frank Miller to get a co-director's credit, and of course the Directors Guild says, no, one director per film, and he said, screw you, I'm doing what I want. But I'm also wondering, some of these things have three or four films in the category, and Visual Effects only has three. Chronicles, King Kong, and War of the Worlds. You know, that's not to say there literally isn't room for Star Wars, but yeah, it could be that behind-the-scenes politics going on.
The films that are nominated, I don't think there was anything really necessarily spectacular about the visuals that were brought to the screen. As much as I did enjoy Chronicles of Narnia, the CG was probably the most disappointing aspect of the film.
Yeah.
And I've heard the same concerns being voiced about King Kong, about, yeah, it's CG, but it's really not groundbreaking, earth-shattering, foaming-at-the-mouth CG.
I think it's just a well-made movie. That's a little too long. And yeah, Chronicles went on. Boy, it's like grossed over 600 million worldwide?
That's insane.
And the director just got signed on to make 10 million for doing the sequel, Prince Caspian, which is going to shoot probably starting this summer.
Other award nominations were also announced this week, this time for the Razzies. Three nominees that I'm recalling totally from memory are Hayden Christensen, our good friend there from Star Wars Episode 2 and 3, Burt Reynolds, and now I can't recall the third.
Well, while you recall the third, we'll tell everyone who doesn't know what the Razzies are. That is an award ceremony dedicated to the worst films made from the past year. I certainly agree with the sentiment that Mr. Hayden Christensen should be up and should get that Razzie Award for Worst Actor.
And the nominations for Worst Actors are Tom Cruise for War of the Worlds, Will Ferrell for Bewitched, Jamie Kennedy for Son of the Mask, The Rock for Doom, and Rob Schneider for Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo. Now, I did read earlier that Hayden was on the list, but apparently I don't see it here. The nominations for Worst Picture are Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo, Dirty Love, Dukes of Hazzard, House of Wax, and Son of the Mask. Worst Remake or Sequel. And again, all the same names keep popping up. We have Bewitched, Deuce Bigelow, Dukes of Hazzard, House of Wax, and Son of the Mask.
You know, Halle Berry actually showed up last year to receive her award for Catwoman. It takes balls to just show up in public and admit that you were a part of just a crap project.
After getting nominated for and then receiving the Academy Award, and then getting nominated for and receiving a Razzie. What a year for Halle Berry.
How'd you like to see that on the mantle? I've received the best and worst awards there are. Yay! I've made it!
Do you just develop, like, schizophrenia over something like that?
Truly.
Worst Actress nominations. I just found it funny because I just saw that Jessica Alba is nominated for both her performances in Fantastic Four and Into the Blue. Hilary Duff also has two nominations for Cheaper by the Dozen 2 and The Perfect Man. Jennifer Lopez for Monster in Law, Jenny McCarthy for Dirty Love, and Tara Reid for Alone in the Dark. So see, that sex appeal apparently really doesn't factor in if you suck at acting.
I wonder if the Razzies get broadcast anywhere. I would actually watch that. When we come back, news on more Friday the 13th. And also, Funimation wants you!
Good afternoon, Princess. So nice of you to invite me for tea.
So you've tuned into the Big Ball broadcast to get your fix on the latest news regarding comics, movies, games. But what's that? You want more news on games? More insight?
Don't worry. It's a game. It's a game just like usual.
You'll ruin your eyes playing so close to the TV.
What are you talking about?
Then tune in to BroadcastGamer.com, where you'll find me, MC Wilson, along with tons of reviews, news, and feedback from gamers just like you. Participate, and you can win great prizes every week, and it's all free. Head on over to BroadcastGamer.com and subscribe today.
I need scissors. 61.
Hey, 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 what do you say, Toon Goons? Yours truly, Mel Mounds here. I thrive on jive, so give me five.
Welcome back to the show. Otherworld Steve and Kyle Hebert here on the Big Ball Broadcast, episode 24.
Fans of the slasher horror genre will be happy to know that, according to Ain't It Cool News, Bloody Disgusting, and Variety, that this October, Friday the 13th, Paramount will be releasing a new installment of Friday the 13th, with everybody's hack-and-slash, hockey-mask-wearing freak Jason Voorhees. The only information we have right now is that we do have a confirmed release date. You can also expect the same low-budget cinematography, and hopefully no CG this time. Freddy vs. Jason was lukewarmly received by the public. I guess that's pretty much their excuse for capitalizing on it and forcing another sequel down our throats.
Creative ways to kill a person, a cast of unknowns, a couple who have premarital sex and then die.
And then the virgin becomes the savior of the movie.
Somehow, yeah. All in an extremely hyped yet extremely unsatisfying result.
It is certainly the film series that has the most creative ways to maim and dismember an individual. They've certainly kept that aspect relatively fresh.
But there's a series of horror films that actually does have critical acclaim. Final Destination, which part 3 is about to come out.
People who have been listening to the podcast long enough know that I'm a freaking wuss when it comes to horror flicks. I don't watch them. I don't really get any enjoyment from them. So I'll just leave it to the critics to make the decisions on whether or not these films are good or bad.
At a recent convention in Austin, Texas, UshiCon, Funimation announced their new Convention Crew Volunteer Program. They want to invite fans who are passionate about anime to be part of the convention staff, to learn about the industry and give away free stuff. And as compensation, you get a free convention badge for the weekend. That doesn't suck. Some of the things you'll get to do as a volunteer, you'll be handing out posters, cards, promo items. You're going to help people fill out surveys and collect survey forms for DVD drawings. Basically, do these 3-hour shifts with little breaks in between. And yeah, you know, if you always said, I want to go to an anime convention, but I can't afford it, here's a great way to get in for free and get free stuff and have fun and meet people in the industry. So for more information, visit Funimation.com.
I'm actually wondering if I'm exempt from participating in that program, but we won't go into any details about that. Because Anime Boston's coming up, and God knows I don't want to pay to get in.
I can see you twirling your mustache right now.
I am, actually. My little goatee hairs. Can I do this? I think it's great for people who, like you said, don't want to pay to get into a con, or people who have had limited accesses to cons for whatever reason. But for me personally, and certainly no offense to Funimation, I can think of better things to do than standing in the dealer's room at a booth for 3 hours.
Yeah, like standing in line to get into the dealer's room for 3 hours.
Or hounding people for autographs, or hounding people for interviews, or hounding the bartender about their 3-drink maximum policy. Sony's been doing it for quite some time at their trade shows. People who are members of the PlayStation Underground, they recruit members through that who are willing to go and work at these tech shows and get to walk out with a bunch of swag as a result. And as I understand, not only is Funimation providing you with the con badge, but they also give you a bunch of swag. DVDs and posters and maybe some t-shirts and hats.
Love it.
Bambi 2 coming out on DVD February 7th, 2006. Manufacturer's retail price, $29.99. But, and as we discussed earlier, there's always a big fuzzy butt in your face. The butt is, in tribute to the 70th anniversary of Walt Disney's inception of the animated classic Bambi, Walt Disney Home Entertainment will only release Bambi 2 for 70 days after its initial street date. So essentially, you have about 2 months and a week, roughly, because if you don't, they're going to do what they did to, like, my favorite film in the world, Aladdin. They're going to lock it up in the Disney vault. No word yet on how long it will remain in the vault before we see a re-release.
Oh, I bet you'll probably see a Blu-ray or HD DVD in the next 2 years.
Whoops, forgot about that.
Yeah, those Weisenheimers at Disney, always locking away stuff. Now, of course, it is a direct-to-video sequel. It was actually the last thing animated by their Australian department before they promptly shut that down.
I just, like, totally learned something. I didn't even know there was an Australian animation division.
Well, there was.
Oops.
I haven't seen this yet. It's not out yet, but I was reading some advance reviews that said, you know, it's pretty good for what it is, and out of all the completely unnecessary Disney sequels, it's probably ranked up there. Certainly animation-wise, they cranked out some quality products. So, check it out. It's got Captain Picard on there. Patrick Stewart provides a voice.
Patrick Stewart is becoming to domestic animation what Steve Blum is to anime.
That's so true. I just picked up a version of a re-release of Dune, the extended edition from 1984, David Lynch's big, hideous sci-fi misfire. It's like a camp classic in my mind because it's just so bad, it's good. And Patrick Stewart's in there, and boy, he just hams it up. It's just awesome. Firefly saved by a rich guy? No, it's not an Offspring song. This is a story that we found online in the past week here. Entrepreneur Ace Underhill, which sounds like a dime store detective. No, he's actually apparently a rich dude who is trying to buy up the rights for the Firefly Serenity franchise from Fox to have it run a second season of a TV series. So his big idea is to sell the show on a direct pay-per-view model. The consumer would view it on his or her computer, or iPod, or on direct-to-DVD sent to their house, or on demand through their cable or satellite provider. Now, I think in theory, this guy has a great idea, and as a brown coat, I'm saying, you don't have to have a big screen sequel, just do something direct-to-video. I think there's enough fans out there that they would actually profit from direct-to-video, or direct-to-sci-fi channel, or whatever, because Universal, which owns Serenity, owns the sci-fi channel. Yeah! Apparently, right now, Mr. Underhill is chatting with 20th Century Fox TV, which holds the TV rights to Firefly, and he admits his effort is a long shot, but you never know, it may go somewhere. Creator Joss Whedon and his camp have absolutely no comment about this guy. I don't really want to trust the future of the franchise to anyone named Ace Underhill, I know that much.
I think that the largest stumbling block to creating a sequel series would be the financial backing, and if you can get somebody who's willing to financially back it, in reality, I don't see any reasons why they wouldn't proceed with a new season. The DVD sales have proven that there are quite a bit of fans out there that are still backing that series. So yeah, I mean, if this guy is willing to take that financial risk, I think it's really interesting.
I'm glad to see the Firefly characters on the big screen, but honestly, you know, it started as a TV show. That's what I originally saw it as, and it's nice that it was a movie. It didn't have to become a movie, so if it went back to that and scaled the budget back down, go back to its roots, I'd have no problem with that, because that's what the fans of the show are used to.
This guy's going to be quite the fan, though, because, again, I'm not saying this to bash the series or the franchise at all, but short-lived on Fox, canceled after one series, then they released the movie, didn't do very well at all theatrically,
right?
Kind of bounced back, went into the black with the DVD sales. I don't think this guy is going to capitalize on his fortune by doing this, so I think you really have to chalk this up to fandom, and I think he's, you know, keeping his fingers crossed he's not just going to piss away $30, $40 million.
That's something that Universal and Fox just have to realize. The fan base is there, it's just probably not as deep as initially expected, but they are there and they are passionate. In this world where you've seen shows resurrected a la Family Guy, a la Stargate, it's possible. It's not every day you see a movie greenlit based on a canceled TV show, so there's no reason to think that it couldn't just downgrade back to TV status. I'd welcome it.
Not to poke more fun at you, but that was a bad contrast, because when you compare Family Guy and Stargate revivals, the difference being those were good shows.
Yes, of course, Steve hasn't seen it, so he's talking out of his ass.
Well, you know, ironically, I'm looking here at my Serenity unrated widescreen DVD, and I do promise I'm going to watch it one of these days, and I will provide a very honest commentary afterwards. So we'll see. I mean, if I'm wrong, I will swallow my pride and say I'm wrong, but since I haven't watched it yet, I'm free to talk all the shit I want. But speaking of revised sci-fi shows, Stargate SG-1 is on the verge of becoming the longest-running American sci-fi TV show ever. Unlike Firefly, that was canceled after one season.
Shut up.
Cheyenne Mountain Entertainment just secured the TV license for its maiden voyage into game development. And what's kind of weird is Cheyenne Mountain right now has no games to its credit, but the management team has plenty of experience with the industry. The vice president of Cheyenne Mountain started in the industry more than two decades ago as a producer with Electronic Arts. This is going to be a massively multiplayer online game, and not really a lot of details at the moment. The name of the game is going to be Stargate Worlds, and a release date has not yet been announced.
I know that there are legions of Stargate fans. I mean, it had its own spinoff show, Stargate Atlantis. I have no interest in it because I was bitter that that remained and Farscape got canceled. But I still hold true because I have seen Galactica, and Battlestar Galactica is the best sci-fi on TV right now and blows Stargate out of the water. Eh.
Even Battlestar Galactica is doing better than Firefly.
There are idiots in control at Fox. How many shows have started and they would have had an audience if their network had backed them a little bit?
It's kind of a weird phenomenon over at Fox where shows like Married with Children seem to have gone on forever. And then these like relatively creative and innovative shows were very short-lived. Although X-Files did enjoy quite a few good seasons before David Duchovny left and the show just kind of petered out to crap.
But David Duchovny's career has gone nowhere outside of X-Files, so he's like jumping at the bit to say, hey, would you make an X-Files 2? And Gillian Anderson's doing the same thing.
Yeah, they're both really excited to do a theatrical sequel. I actually saw an interview with David Duchovny on TV probably about a month ago. Apparently he's directing some weird indie flick. And wow, he looks nothing like the way he was portrayed in the X-Files. About, you know, shoulder-length hair, sporting a little goatee, wearing jeans and Converse All-Stars. Just really a departure from the suit and tie guy he portrayed on the X-Files. It was really weird to see him in that capacity.
His personality just seems like he just rolled out of bed. Mulder just looks sleepy all the time.
Heroin abuse will do that. No, I'm only kidding. No. We just slipped into an Inquirer moment.
Oops. Ouchies. Oh, yeah. But if you are an X-Files fan, I'll throw this out there while we're going on tangents. The first three seasons have just been re-released with slim packs in there. They're not in that big, obnoxious case anymore. And they're also like $40 as opposed to $150. Now's a good time as an X-Files fan to catch up on your DVD collection.
Or if you're a broadband user, go check out bittorrent.com. Oh, God. I gotta stop doing that.
First PETA is gonna knock on your door, then the feds.
Oh, yeah, and then parents, because I'm telling kids to shine lasers in people's eyes. It is horrendous. Well, I might as well throw more kerosene on that fire. Last week, we reported about a DVD ripping program for Mac users called Handbrake. And ironically, I can report to you this week that Handbrake has been ported over to Windows.
That just opens up a whole new can of worms.
I will do as I did last week. I will not go into a bunch of juicy details, but I'll post a link over in the show notes. And I can't be responsible for what you do with that program. This is just the disclaimer show for me.
Yeah, but I like that. You're making people go back and listen to the previous one if they haven't heard it. So they're going, what's Handbrake? Nope, sorry. I'm not going to tell you. You got to go back and listen. Ha, 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 ha.
And chances are you're running Windows, so definitely go back and listen up on that because you'll find it very, very interesting.
Yes, you can find all episodes at bigballbroadcast.blogspot.com. You are listening to the Big Bald Broadcast right now. This is episode 24, and we still got more show for you coming up.
Would you please stop singing?
If you sell products or provide a service related to the topics discussed on the Big Ball Broadcast, we want to hear from you. We'll help market your business with custom-made promos and sponsor mentions. For more information on advertising opportunities, please contact the Big Ball Broadcast at gmail.com.
After very careful consideration, sir, I've come to the conclusion that your system sucks.
Welcome back to the Big Ball Broadcast, and now more geeky news than you can use.
Well, Kyle, I know you own an Apple iPod, and I guess my question to you is, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, so apparently you don't intend on suing Apple over hearing loss just yet. And no, this is not a joke. An owner of Apple Computer Inc.'s iPod music player filed a federal lawsuit against the computer maker, claiming the device causes hearing loss in people who use it. Now, this has been a concern in the iPod community for some time, that use of earbuds and the fact that the volume level isn't capped at a safe level can lead to hearing loss and with short-term use. Now, ironically, I had also read a stat last week on a stat site that said that people who use earbuds are 3 times more likely to develop inner ear infections. So when people ask me why I don't own an iPod, I can say, well, I value my hearing and I do not want an inner ear infection. So there's my justification.
My thought is I kind of compare it to cancer victims blaming the tobacco industry when they get cancer. It's like, I smoked for 50 years and I'm going to sue your company because I have terminal cancer now. It's like, but you smoked. You knew the risk. I think it's pretty obvious that with headphones, you know, if you're going to listen to exceedingly loud volumes for any extended amount of time, you're going to risk hearing loss. That's just common sense.
Well, fortunately for him, I guess, and unfortunately for the rest of the world, some people are taking it serious. And as a result, Apple was forced to pull the iPod from store shelves in France and had to upgrade the software on the device to limit sounds to 100 decibels.
Only 100?
Crammed into your ear canal.
Wow, and I think the average concert is like 120 decibels.
You know, and I guess the thing that's really screwing iPod is that, according to the lawsuit, Apple has contributed to the hearing loss in users by including phrases such as crank up the tunes and bring the noise in lesson manuals related to the device. So this is a part of this gentleman's argument, saying that not only did Apple cause hearing loss, but they condoned it.
Well, I know that I do have to turn up the volume a little bit when I'm like working out at the gym, because they've got TVs blaring and music and everything, and of course all the exercise machines, so I do turn up the iPod. But I'm not really listening to music on my iPod. I'm listening to podcasts. So it's just talking. I don't know if that does as much damage as a searing guitar solo or anything. But
according to some studies that doctors have done, and this information is being used to file the complaint, the device can produce sounds of more than 115 decibels. And at that volume, it can damage your hearing if you're exposed to sounds of that level for as little as 28 seconds per day.
Well, I'm screwed.
If you know these things are loud, and if you know that you're cramming these earbuds into your ear, yeah, I guess it kind of is your fault. But judicial system that we do have in place, I could see that this guy could probably end up making quite a bit of money from Apple, and then as a result, they probably will, you know, tweak the software, bring it down to maybe the 100 decibel mark, and probably have a lot more warning information in their documentation to make sure suits like this just can't be filed after that.
That'd be nice, because we are living in a world where if you spill hot coffee on your lap, you can make millions from McDonald's.
Same case in point, once that happens and they went ahead and they put the warnings on the coffee cups, it pretty much it exonerates the companies from any future lawsuits. And unfortunately, that's pretty much the American way, is that's how companies have these types of problems brought to their attention by humongous multi-billion dollar lawsuits. Once it goes through, they do whatever they do to make sure it doesn't happen again. So it's going to be a valuable lesson for Apple, but I don't think you're going to hear about lawsuits like this popping up again.
I hope not. If you're an Xbox owner, not a 360, but the original Xbox, you might be interested to learn that firmware has been hacked, meaning that you can play copied games or DVDs without modifying your Xbox. Of course, with this breakthrough, it's only a matter of time before people will be able to crack the 360's firmware. I am personally not wanting to hack my Xbox. I don't want to do anything to where I have to dig in under the hood and risk getting my online account screwed with or any of that. Now, of course, this is saying that you can bypass all that. There's less risk involved with the live account. But, you know, I just don't want to go there. I'm a geek, but I'm not a total tech geek. I don't know enough about it to warrant messing with my console.
The claim here with the hacked firmware, Xbox can't make a distinction between a legitimate disk and a copy disk. And therefore, although not conclusively proven, they believe at this point that it should not interfere with Xbox Live. Now, many people know if you do get caught using a modded Xbox on Xbox Live, your account could be suspended or canceled entirely, and Microsoft does have every right to do that. So if you are interested in modding your Xbox and you decide to play on Xbox Live, you are doing so at your own risk. You gotta kind of weigh the pros and cons there for yourself. Recently, a PlayStation 3 developer was fired for talking.
Now, dun dun dun.
Of course, there's a little more involved than that. PS3 Week has an interview with a Sony artist who was fired for his opinions of the PS3. And a quote here from the article is, "I started off very excited about PS3. I was very confident that it was going to destroy the Xbox 360 just on the name Sony alone. The more time that goes by, the more I'm becoming doubtful. Everything I've developed or seen developed has yet to be next gen." Now, the individual's name is John Robinson, and his review of the PS3 development cost him his job at Sony. And again, PS3 Week caught up with him. They talked about him and how this all went down. And if you're interested in reading about, you know, how talking a little bit too much can get you canned with a big corporation, I'll put the link over to the show notes.
Does that put any nervousness in you about anticipating the PS3? Because it's still early in the game. I don't know. I mean, and it's also just one guy's opinion.
Right, and he still remains adamant to this day that what he said had nothing to do with the non-disclosure form that he signed, that he was just expressing his opinion and he didn't really mean it derogatory. But the one point he's focusing on is the fact that everything he was working on was very far from being next gen. And he also went on to comment that he doesn't know when the system's going to be released, because what they were working on with the dev kit in no way, shape, or form resembles the home console, and that he feels that Sony may be blowing a lot of smoke when they start talking release dates and price points.
One last break on the Big Ball Broadcast. We'll come back with a final update on Steve's big arcade cabinet project next.
Leave your audio comments by calling the Big Ball Broadcast listener line. Just call 818-574-3607. That's 818-574-3607.
I want you to know that your father loves you both very much.
But he throws like a girl.
So did Martina Navratilova. But that doesn't mean she wasn't macho in many other important ways.
And we're back. We're cleaning house. We're about to close shop. But, Steve, you have one more report to give us on your big arcade cabinet.
Just in brief, yes, I have relatively completed my arcade cabinet. The only thing I'm waiting for now is my coin door. And once that comes in, it'll be officially complete. But it's up. It's running. It's together. I've been using it when I can, because other commitments have kind of been keeping me from it. But anybody interested in checking out a little 1 minute video, and it's like under 2 megabytes, you can go over to bigballbroadcast.blogspot.com, check out the show notes from last week's episode, and you can download a little clip, and feedback would be very appreciated.
Right there under episode 23, and you can find all the episodes previous listed right there. Show notes, links, everything you need. Maria is about to tell you the phone number to our voicemail so you can leave some comments and get a hold of us, because we need to be gotten a hold of.
Sometimes by the throat, but yeah. Hold up nonetheless.
But yeah, that wraps another Big Ball broadcast. Thank you for downloading and staying subscribed. Until next week, this is Kyle Hebert.
And this is Other World Steve.
See ya!
Visit our official blog page at bigballbroadcast.blogspot.com. Donations are graciously accepted and appreciated. Please email us at thebigballbroadcast@gmail.com. You can also leave a voicemail on our listener line at 818-574-3607. Additional announcements by Maria Vu. Remember to stay geeky!
It's true what they say, cops and women don't mix. It's like eating a spoonful of Drano. Sure, it'll clean you out, but it'll leave you hollow inside.